Online Trading Academy's core strategy is patented and built on the timeless principles of supply and demand. Text Cairo to 57682 to learn how you can trade stocks using this patented core strategy. Text Cairo to 57682.
And this is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So here's what I've discovered. Discovered a little bit about myself today. So yesterday, I was just barely a week removed from emergency out-of-state surgery. And I was so bored late last week. And all I did was I sat around and I prepared for yesterday's show. And I was so fired up to come and do the show yesterday. And, you know, my wife, my daughters, you know, how are you feeling? You're able to go back to work? I said, oh, yeah, I'm so excited to go. Man, I tell you what.
You're exhausted now.
That little boost I got yesterday, that lasted for about 3 hours. That was noon to three yesterday.
You're not supposed to overdo it.
Woo! Jeez, it's just relentless. But it's the news cycle.
I know.
The news is relentless around
here. We cannot possibly squeeze everything that we want to say into this three-hour period.
Exactly.
Literally, we're having to decide what we're going to do tomorrow and what we can still fit in today.
We're going to talk later this afternoon. That guy who, the Good Samaritan in Burien, who ended up being the victim of the machete attack, he and I are going to talk later this afternoon on the show. And we just got all kinds of stuff going on right now.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's a good problem to have.
It's the best problem
You need to pace yourself.
Yeah. So I heard the story you had a little bit earlier about this new Amazon delivery service.
Yes, to your car.
So as I understand it, just like they have, they're trying to get control of the lock to your front door, but now they have a new technology where they can get access to your car locks if it's a 2015 or newer model.
Yeah, so it's only certain models, but they're hoping to expand that. But it's certain models, certain newer models, and I can look at those exact ones. But it's kind of limited.
It doesn't really matter. But but if your car's in your driveway and you don't want them leaving the package on your porch, they'll unlock your vehicle, they'll put the package in your vehicle, and then they'll lock it. And I just think this is genius because two of the things we have going on around here are package theft and car prowls. And now we're able to combine those two into one handy little service.
Although you would be able to figure out that car prowler pretty quickly if it were Amazon.
Well, no, I just think anybody walking by, they see a package in your car, they'll just smash the window and grab it.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so anyway, just
But don't, wouldn't they put it in the trunk?
Well, yeah, but if you have an SUV... then you got no chance. Or a minivan, then you got no shot here. But yeah, so Amazon's going to start putting packages in your car.
And I think, and I don't think it's only to avoid the porch, you know, pirates. I think it's also just for convenience. Like, hey, I'm at work. Can you just deliver it here?
Yeah, they said if the car is parked within two blocks of the delivery address, and everybody can find parking within two blocks of work, that's no problem whatsoever in the Puget Sound area. Parking's plentiful.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like this would be more directed towards, you know, safer neighborhoods in the rural county where they wouldn't maybe notice somebody.
What are those neighborhoods that are safe now?
Blaine.
I don't know. Yeah, Clyde Hill. No, no, there are lots of, I've got friends who live in Clyde Hill. Lots of Amazon package porch thefts there. And then I saw the story about how their next big thrust at Amazon is they want to put home robots into all of our houses. And I was thinking about that because I got a Roomba. That's my only home robot.
And how do you like it?
I've
been thinking about it.
It's fine. It's good. I like the Roomba. I want to get a newer version. Mine's 2 years old now. But
I'll take your old one.
Yeah, because you can program it, and it'll vacuum like overnight or while you're at work. And if you have a doggy, like you got Scooter and I got Buddy, it'll pick up the hair. How often do you vacuum?
Truthfully?
Honestly.
Well, since I had zero res come to our house, I haven't had to vacuum so much. Between my husband and myself, maybe once a week.
Yeah. We're lucky.
Maybe.
We're lucky
That's
if we're
so
doing
bad.
It once a week. I know. So just that alone. But I was thinking, Amazon says they want to build home robots. And there's a second study that I saw today. Robots could outnumber humans in just 15 years. Will feel genuine emotions by 2028. There are these brothels springing up all over Europe with the sex robots. And I'm trying to think, what in the world could a home robot, besides my Roomba, what would it even do?
Get you your Diet Cokes.
I got a dog for that.
Clean the shower. I don't know.
Shower?
Clean it. Yes.
Clean the shower. Oh.
Yeah, that I could subscribe to.
But you said take
I don't
a
like
shower.
To vacuum, and I don't like
take
to clean
a shower
my shower.
For me.
Anyway, that's what's going on.
Make
with
my
Amazon.
Bed. I don't know. I can think of some stuff for that robot to do.
Okay, I just heard the other story you had, which I think is brand new, and that what's going on outside of the King County Courthouse?
Well, apparently there have been too many assaults recently and other crimes. There's, and this has been going on for years and years, but it's really kind of come to a head.
Well, I just saw a story yesterday that dozens and dozens of jurors are getting attacked going to and from the courthouse downtown, and that's just a small sliver of the problem, but
right.
It's just running rampant.
And Councilman, one of the council members today said, you're paying these jurors $10 an hour to get assaulted.
No, a day.
A day, that's right. Excuse me. $10 an hour would be pretty good. $10 a day.
Yeah, I'd be a professional juror if it was per hour.
But in all seriousness, and so today they had discussion with the someone from the Seattle Police Department who was saying, there's a lot that we can't do to address this. So it's not just.
Yeah. But they could if their hands were unshackled.
Right.
But yeah, this is Captain Thomas Mahaffey with Seattle Police.
Yeah, I don't think it's the courthouse in particular. I think, as I mentioned, it's some of the other environmental issues down here, mainly being that you have all of your service providers clustered in a very small area.
Yeah, it's that we have tents on the plaza outside of the courthouse. And I told you last hour, even the mayor of San Francisco, as radical as that city is, they look like Omaha, Nebraska compared to Seattle right now, because the mayor of San Francisco said, that's it. We've had it with the tents. We've offered services to everybody who wants services, and now we're not going to put up with the tents anymore. Seattle, of course, 180 degrees different. We're going to try to encourage as many tents as possible. And the SPD captain says, as a result, not a lot we can do about what's going on.
Yeah, the tent situation is very frustrating. We have a lot of administrative rules we have to follow, where I get a lot of frustration from citizens where they call 911, the same type of complaint. My officers go out, but because of the rules regarding encampments that we are bound to follow, right? They're administrative rules. Maybe they don't line up with city ordinance and law, but that's what we have to follow.
Yeah, so they are completely shackled. I also told you last hour that there was a huge protest in Southern California last night because a 35-year-old man who was out eating with his wife and little girl, a homeless guy came in and stabbed him to death randomly in the restaurant in front of his wife and daughter. And what's it going to take? What's it going to take around here? Are we going to have random people murdered on the streets before our politicians decide to do something? And the answer is probably, because right now our politicians love the homelessness crisis. They love it because they are using it to put a tax on business so they can transfer that tax money to the labor unions that got them into office. And that's what it's about. And the SPD says we cannot even handle the calls we're getting in anymore about homelessness.
We can ask people to move, right, if they're obstructing. But if we are going to potentially make an arrest out of that, then we are now responsible for all that property, right, that they have. And my officers just don't have the capacity to deal with that. There's sanitary issues involved with that.
And so Seattle police say we can't do anything and the problem's just going to continue. And this is about the most dysfunctional region in the country right now. And we're devolving. We're getting down into third world status in how we're dealing with this problem. And I really mean that. We're getting into the slum area of these encampments, and children are being raped and sold off so that heroin addicts can pay for their fix. Homes are getting broken into. Cars are being prowled. And again, we have the worst political leadership in the United States of America right now in this region. Next up in the Fastest 50. It's really hard for me because all I do is I just deliver news story after news story, mm-hmm. and I can never give opinion.
I can never really stingy about your opinions.
I can never insert my opinion because I'm an objective journalist.
Uh-huh. And
every once in a while, I see a story that demands some opinion. And so, do you mind if I stray from my my usual seat here as an objective journalist?
I don't mind.
Okay, we do let the listeners know that I am going to devolve into the world of opinion. We call it news and comment.
Now it's time for news and comment, where we go beyond the headlines and bring you perspective and analysis of today's biggest news stories. First, the news.
Dateline Tanzania. When it comes to finding a partner, monkeys are not necessarily so picky. They insist a mate comes from the same species. New genetic research suggests that primates in Tanzania are so promiscuous, they will happily cross the species divide. The study shows red-tailed and blue monkeys regularly get together, despite being entirely separate creatures with entirely different looks and social structures.
And now, the comment.
Sluts.
This has been News and Comment. The views expressed in News and Comment are those of Dory Monson and do not necessarily reflect the views of Cairo Radio.
You know what? That is it is refreshing every once in a while to be able to give my opinion on something.
Wow. Yeah. You boiled that one down to one word.
Yeah, sometimes you got... You know why? Because we got so much news to talk about.
Yes.
Like I was telling you a few minutes ago. Okay, what else do we have? Pete Carroll. Speaking out, Colin Kaepernick, I love this. Colin Kaepernick just got the highest honor yesterday from Amnesty International. Because I have not heard Colin Kaepernick really well define what he's all about. But there was a story two weeks ago, that the Seahawks were thinking about bringing Colin Kaepernick in as a backup to Russell Wilson. But Kaepernick wouldn't pledge that he would stand for the anthem. And so he's still on the beach. He sat all of last season. But anyway, this is weird. He accepted an award last night from Amnesty International, their highest honor that they give out.
How can you stand for the national anthem of a nation that preaches and propagates freedom and justice for all? That is so unjust to so many of the people living there. How can you not be in a rage when you know that you are always at risk of death in the streets or enslavement in the prison system? How can you willingly be blind to the truth of systemic racialized injustice? My love for my people serves as the fuel that motivates me.
Okay, it goes on and on and on. He clearly does not want to play football anymore. If it was at all an issue that you got to stand for the anthem, and then he gives a speech last night that is quite radical. And so I do not think that Colin Kaepernick has any interest in playing football anymore. Pete Carroll spoke about him yesterday before that speech and said, well, we still could bring him in. That's still an option.
Let me say it this way. We're still battling on all fronts, on all guys. We're still looking at guys and evaluating. There's still free agents that we continue to look at. And in that, the process just continues. And at this point, this is, you know, we've gone through the information gathering, and we kind of have a pretty good feel for where we are. And it's ongoing. We're not done with that decision at all. We're still watching it.
Well, I hope they are after that speech last night, because the fans don't want to hear somebody using their football platform for just, you know, the radicalness of Kaepernick. But the report last week was that when Kaepernick wouldn't pledge to stand for the anthem, the Seahawks uninvited him for a workout. And Pete Carroll now says, nah, that's blown out of proportion.
I think that kind of got blown up, you know, like that was a big marker. I think we've been working at this thing for some time now, so I don't think that's really as telling as you know, it came across. So we're real aware of him, and he's a fine football player, and there may be a place where we're not sure about where that fits yet.
And then there was another story when I was gone last week about Michael Bennett, and I know it was a Sports Illustrated guy, went on with Brock and Salk. And he said that he spent last fall with Bennett, and they were working on some, you know, big featured story for Sports Illustrated. And Michael Bennett said Pete Carroll's message got so old and tired to Bennett that Bennett would sit and read books during team meetings.
Openly, yeah. And, like, that's so disrespectful.
If it's true. And that was the big question is, I'm trying to imagine Pete Carroll tolerating that. And I'm also trying to imagine somebody who's making whatever Bennett was making last year, $8 million or $10
million.
Being that openly contemptuous and disrespectful of your employer. So I don't know which it is, but Pete Carroll, it's the first time he's had a chance to address that rumor that Bennett was reading during team meetings.
Mike never brought a book to a meeting, okay? So Mike never brought a book to a meeting, I'll tell you that. And the thing I would tell you about that is... we've been through a lot around here, and we've grown tremendously together and all that. And changes are inevitable, you know, and sometimes, you know, you guys can't hang with what, you know, what's expected for one reason or another, their growth, their development and all that. And the best thing I can tell you is they're not here.
Yeah. Seahawks have had a pretty complete house cleaning since last season. And now we'll see what the results are. I was checking out Vegas, and they project the Seahawks to be the same as last year, about a 9-win, 7-loss team. I know that Pete Carroll and John Schneider have much higher hopes for the upcoming season and some fresh blood. There you have it. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, we got, as I said, it is a very busy news day. Ursula's going to check the news. And then wait until you hear what is going on behind the scenes with your politicians as they continue to gridlock the region. It's not about getting you to and from where you need to go. It is about money and people who have bought political power. And I will have details next on the Dory Monson Show.
There's a long line of cars and they're trying to get through. There's no single explanation, there's no central destination. But this long line of cars.
One of the biggest crises that this entire region faces is traffic gridlock. It is everywhere, and it's particularly bad in the city of Seattle right now, and in part, large part, because while there's more and more demand for car lanes, the city for years and years has been eliminating lanes of traffic for vehicles, which is still the dominant mode of transportation for most people. And what they're talking about doing now on 35th Avenue Northeast, it is just pure insanity. And a bunch of business owners and neighbors, they have risen up against the city. And one of the guys who's part of that group is Gabe Galanda, who joins us here on Cairo Radio. Gabe, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thanks, Dory. Good to be here.
Tell me why you guys are so passionate against this road diet, bike lane project.
Well, this was advertised by SDOT starting in 2016 as a so-called paving plan, which the Northeast, meaning Ravenna, Bryant, Wedgewood, thought mean asphalt, new asphalt to a place where the sidewalks, for example, don't roam. What it turns out this really is a complete reconfiguration of the main arterial running through those neighborhoods, 35th Avenue Northeast, which will include, among other things, the loss of 60% of on-street parking that is needed to allow small businesses to survive, and the loss of bus stops and other amenities up and down the corridor. Hardly a paving plan.
So,
and there's been no local voice heard about this plan, meaning the city council or one city councilor and city hall, meaning the mayor, old and new, and SDOT have not bothered to listen to the concerns that local community members and small businesses articulated once they realized that this plan wasn't just for asphalt.
By that city council member, are you talking about Rob Johnson?
I sure am.
Okay, well, Rob Johnson, this is not at all surprising because this is a guy who's been nothing but a bike advocate. That's the groups, or those are the groups, that got him elected to office. And there is an expectation now that he and the city council and the city of Seattle are going to deliver. They bought him a city council seat, and now he owes them. And forget about the people who are affected. This is just a quid pro quo thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's no secret that special interests rule City Hall. But the problem I have here is the dishonesty and the lack of transparency associated with this project. I spoke to Rob Johnson on February 7th, and he made a comment to me that the opposition to the reconfiguration of 35th Avenue was only articulated late, meaning by late 2017.
Okay.
Well, I've done through public records research to realize that Rob Johnson was fully aware by December of 16 and January of 17, according to SDOT, emails and text messages, that 68% of the community was opposed to the project. Quote, strong sentiments, end quote, were being articulated against the plan. Nonetheless, he and only he made the decision and told SDOT to implement his decision to build bike facilities along 35th, despite being warned it would cause massive loss of parking and other impairment that would impact the community and small businesses.
Well,
we're always told that city council has no control over SDOT. They answer only to the mayor. Well, in this particular instance, we have one individual on the city council and nobody else calling all the shots and not listening to stated and vocal opposition to the project.
Well, and what's happening here is I've heard enough interviews with Rob Johnson, and I'll just give you my opinion here because that's what I do on my radio show. I don't think he's a bright enough guy to conceive of and implement all of this himself. And that's where I really fear, Gabe, that we have a city government that is, I mean, they're puppets. They are puppets of these larger forces, and there are such ulterior motives for everything they do, and it is, they couldn't care less what long-term damage they're doing to the city as long as they reward their masters.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, and this master appears to be people like the Cascade Bicycle Club and folks with vested interest in bike share programs, and they are rotating in and out of City Hall and SDOT, and ultimately into consultant jobs that pay very handsomely or into executive jobs for bike share programs.
Well, look,
so the conflict of interest here could not be more acute.
We saw this with the head of SDOT, Scott Kubley, who also, very unremarkable guy, and I have great sources who were in meetings with him, and they told me that he was in so far over his head that he couldn't even see the surface from where he was. And Scott Kubley screws up the city, ethically challenged decisions that cost taxpayers millions of dollars, gets ethics fines for that, and then when he gets bounced out of his SDOT job, he goes to work for a bike share company. Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty evil cycle, but in all of these people feathering their nests, Gabe, what's happening is neighborhoods are getting ruined, business owners are getting screwed over, residents are finding that their mobility just to get to and from their home and to and from their work is being railroaded. And I cannot believe the people of this city who, you know, claim to be pretty smart, that they put up with such corruption in city government.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Mr. Kubley, but what I've seen from Mr. Johnson and his cohorts downtown makes me rather upset. It's dishonest, it's unethical, and it is hardly good government. And oh, by the way, the city never even bothered to do any environmental review of this project, thanks to a law passed by the McGinn administration that exempts bike lane projects from any environmental review under SEPA.
You gotta be
kidding
me.
So not only is it unethical and corrupt, it's not even smart, meaning not smart to not study transportation, traffic, environment, or any other impacts associated with the project.
So what, and I know you're an attorney, right?
Yes.
Okay, you got a business there on 35th. What do you think the impact of this is going to be for your neighborhood?
It's going to be dead disastrous for small businesses that are already on a very fragile corridor in the Northeast. Keep in mind these small businesses like Grateful Bread, Wedgwood Broiler, and others, they're competing with businesses in the university district, and they're also competing with businesses in the village and on the Ave. If they lose 60% of their on-street parking, those businesses will have a hard time surviving. Beyond that, they're taking away bus stops at our library branch, which is the third busiest branch in the city, and they've not even studied the impacts this would have if you divert traffic essentially from 35th Avenue into the neighborhoods or down other streets near schools, what that is going to do to the local community. They have not concerned themselves with the impact it will have on daily lives, be they business lives or individuals' lives.
What's your group's game plan from here? Because from everything I've been hearing, there's a fait accompli for the reasons we've already discussed, that they have the bidding of their masters to do and nothing will deter them. So what do you think the game plan is for you opponents?
Yes, 50 small businesses up and down 35th Avenue, that's 70% of the businesses along that corridor, have written two letters to the mayor and two letters to the city council. And thus far we've received only one response from the mayor, which after the fact said, oh, by the way, we will meet with you. After standing by the prior decision or the administration before them's decision to move this project forward. So we do feel like we're facing an uphill battle, but it's not one that we intend to abandon quietly. This is not good government. This is not good local government. And this is not honest or ethical.
Well, yeah, I mean, I will go so far myself to use the word corrupt in describing all of this. Well, look, I'm here for you guys. I'm here to give you a megaphone, and I hope that you being galvanized, and we'll do whatever we can on my end, but this has to stop at some point because the city I grew up in is a mess right now, and it's just sad for me to watch this.
Thank you for the audience.
Okay. Hey, Gabe, good talking with you, and keep me posted, okay?
Will do. Thanks so much.
Okay, Gabe Galanda, who's part of this group trying to stop what the city, and in particular, council member Rob Johnson, who again got elected because the bike groups wanted their puppet on City Hall. And that's the reason that all this is happening. And if it gridlocks the city even more, so be it in their view. Love to get your thoughts on this. You can text me at 98973. Email us. Go to mynorthwest.com, the Dory Monson show page. We have much more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson show.
There's no single explanation. There's no central destination. But this long line of cars trying to get through, and this long line of cars is all because of you.
Thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. Industrious Office is just an amazing workspace right in the heart of downtown Seattle, right on 6th and Lenora, right where everything Seattle has to offer is on your doorstep. And at Industrious, you can start with the right size office and then scale up as your team grows. Go to industriousoffice.com/Cairo, schedule a tour, mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hi, I'm Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio. When Cairo Radio listeners miss their favorite show, they find it on demand. Maybe you should be advertising here. Give me a call and I'll help you out. 206-726-6819.
I'm really fascinated. In about 15 minutes or so, I'm going to talk with that guy who was the victim of the machete attack in Burien last week. He so easily could have been killed, and I checked out the court documents. These two drunks, they started attacking a homeless guy, and this good Samaritan, Ryan, saw the attack. Ryan and his fiancee, they saw the attack on the homeless guy. They said something, they jumped in, and then the two drunk guys took a chain and a machete to Ryan. And we don't have enough good Samaritans because everybody's afraid that they're going to die in the streets, and understandably so. You know, I don't know about you, but I know that I would have to weigh the goodness of jumping in, but I'm a husband, I'm a father. and I want to go home to my wife, and I want to see my girls, and I want to meet my grandkids someday, and all of that. And I don't know what I would do if I saw two drunks with a machete and a chain attacking a homeless person. Would you jump in? Would you risk your life for that? I can't sit here and tell you that I would risk my life. I'm not horribly proud of it, nor am I embarrassed of it. I just think self-preservation is a pretty important thing. But this guy, you know, there are some people who are just wired differently. And this guy, Ryan, he sees the attack on the homeless guy, jumps in, and almost paid for it with his life. So I'm going to try to get inside his head and his motivations and how he's wired differently from a lot of us who would not get involved. So he's going to join us right after the news at the top of the hour. So the Burien machete attack victim coming up early into the next hour. Oh, it's happened again. Man, I tell you, our listeners are so dialed in to this show. I saw it yesterday. You were getting a bunch of praise, Sean, on the text and emails.
Because
because of some of your outro bump music.
Oh, that's great.
Did you play Cypress Hill yesterday?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, there were some people who noticed that.
It's great.
And you and I have talked about that the last few weeks, that people are just getting more and more dialed into, you know, your genius with the music on the show. And then some of the stuff, like I broke the story and I first started tackling this important issue 10 years ago. But I must have gotten 50, 100 emails when the news broke that the oldest person in the world has once again died. 117 years old, a Japanese woman, Nabi Tajima. And it was 10 years ago when I started noticing this horrible, tragic trend that whenever somebody becomes the world's oldest person, they almost always die within 6 to 12 months. And I do believe that it is a conspiracy. I think that it is a murder, a serial murder plot. I don't know who's doing it, and I don't know why. But they're very devious. They're very clever. It always, because they always say natural causes. But Nabi Tajima died in a hospital. She was born August 4th, 1900. So technically, that was still the 19th century, because the 20th century didn't begin until 1901. And so she was the last person on Earth who was born in the 19th century. What in the world did she do to deserve being rubbed out like this, like all of her predecessors as world's oldest? So we will continue to try to get to the bottom of this. But once again, the sad reality that we uncovered and broke on this show 10 years ago. The murder spree continues. Okay, we got a lot more to do here on the Dory Monson Show. The Burien machete attack victim and lots more straight ahead. Big lead to two next.